Well, I've never been out of the country, so I'm always happy to hear when Bobby Joe goes to Africa and comes back, and I get to see the pictures and hear about what God's doing in other places in the world. I have a good friend of mine that is in Pakistan. He's a youth pastor. His name is Samson, and we talk a lot online on Facebook, and he sends me pictures of what God is doing over in Pakistan. And the reality is God is calling people to be reconciled to himself in every corner of the globe. Every place where there's people, God is there, and he wants them to know how much he does love them. And a lot of times we think of love as just using people. That's a lot of times what you use. I love you, meaning I want something from you that I want you to give to me. And that's not at all the way God loves us. God loves us sacrificially, and he just sacrifices and sacrifices and gives and gives and gives because he truly does love us. Well, I'm just going to spend a few minutes here. We don't have much time left, but I only got 2 pages of notes this morning because I knew we wouldn't have much time. Hopefully, I can get through these 2 pages in relatively shortly. We're going to talk real quickly about, you guys ever seen the movie or the TV or it's a TV series, I think it's called How to Train Your Dragon. If you have kids or you're under, whatever age, you might have seen something like that. How to Train Your Dragon. Well, we're not talking about how to train dragons, although sometimes they do act that way. We're going to talk about how to train children. How to train your children. And just a few quick pointers. I asked my wife, I said, "Do you think I can cover how to train your children in 10 or disciplining children in 10 minutes?" And she's like, "I don't think so." So, don't consider this the whole course. Consider this like the commercial. So the first point is training the child. Training the child. And we want to remember that we're supposed to train up our children, not tear them down. Train up your children, not tear them down. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Ephesians 6:4 says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to be firm at some times. And that doesn't mean that you don't have to give discipline at times, right? And discipline should not be comfortable or easy. If it is, it's not discipline. But the idea, the motivation behind our interaction with our children should not be out of frustration and anger. It should be out of a desire to see them grow up into the admonition, the training and admonition of the Lord, to serve them, not to serve them, to serve, to help them serve God, to teach them to serve God. Train up a child in the way that he should go. How do you do that? One, you teach them, right? Role play is a great way to teach kids, right? I was talking with somebody here this last week saying, "Hey, what if you just asked your kid, like, hey, I'm about to, what if I was to tell you to clean up your room? What would be a good answer? I'm not telling you to clean up, but if I was to tell you to clean up your room, what would be a good answer for you to tell me?" I don't know. Well, just let's... Okay, I'll clean my room. See, very good. Thank you for playing along. And you could say, well, maybe you could say, "Okay, I'll clean my room, Mom," right? Addressing me and say, "I would be glad to do what you want me to do." Should we teach our kids to be glad to do what they don't really want to be glad to do, right? I mean, what kid wants to be glad to clean their room? But we want to teach them to be glad to serve and obey their authority, right? Because one day, who's going to be their authority? Well, God is already their authority. And we want to teach them to be glad to serve God. and do what He wants us to do. Role play is a great way. There are many others. We don't have time to go into them all. But the point is, you're not going to get very far by saying, that was a crappy way to answer me. Right? Or, go clean your room. And then they say, well, I was really wanting to go play this. Go clean your room! Right? Volume doesn't really necessarily help the child to learn. Now, if they don't hear very well, then that could be a helpful thing. But normally, that's not really going to train them. It's actually going to teach them that when you said it the first time in your normal voice, you didn't really mean it. Because I'm about to say it in the voice that I really mean it in, and then you'll know that I really meant it that time, right? So you're actually doing the exact opposite of what you want to accomplish. You're training them not to listen to you the first time. The second thing was under the training of the child, which is continuing this theme, is to give instruction. Always be giving instruction to your children. Last week we talked about communication, right, and marriage. We talked about the importance of for the father to be sharing what he's thinking, right, and to be laying down the law. Well, with children, it's magnified 100 times. It is so important for the father to be laying down the law and giving instruction. Proverbs 4, 1 through 7 says, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words and keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, being wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Here is the father. Who wrote Proverbs? Solomon. Here is Solomon, the wisest man ever lived. And what is he saying? Listen to my instruction. Now you should, because he's wise, right? The wisest man. But he was saying, hey, I listened to my father. This is where I learned this stuff, right? And I'm guessing most of the stuff that you know, you learned from your father. You learned some bad things from your father, probably. Picked up some bad habits. But you learned some good things, too. And so we need to be, as fathers, we need to, one, make sure that we are teaching the right things. But we do need to be teaching our children. Training them up in what God wants them to know. Number two, disciplining your children. Disciplining the children. That is really, really, really important, to discipline your children. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod, that's this thing right here, and rebuke, that's correction with speech, not yelling. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. When you say, oh, it's okay, I don't need to discipline them, you are actually inviting them to go out and embarrass you. How does that work? Well, let me just read the next verse and it'll all make sense. Proverbs 13:24. He who spares his rod, that's this thing right here, hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Why is that important, to discipline your child? Because it teaches them how to behave. Because guess what? They're not going to live in your... Hopefully, they're not going to live in your home forever. And when they get out, they need to be able to associate with other people in a way that will help them live their life. If you don't teach them how to do that, shame on you. If you don't correct their bad habits, shame on you. And guess what? They will shame you by their actions when they go out and embarrass you. You will say, "I'm so ashamed." And it's because you didn't discipline them. You didn't bring them up the way God asked you to. You didn't love on them by correcting their mistakes. So we want loving correction. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. And I have a whole lot more to share on that, but we don't have time. We're already out of time. So I'm going to go to the last one, which is the best method of discipline. Anybody want to know the best method of discipline? Huh?
1 Corinthians.
Who wants to know the best method of discipline? I want to know too. What? Anybody guess? No?
Something that you're
going to say. You're smart. Smart young whippersnapper we got here. Okay. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, meaning their focus. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. You want to know the best way to discipline your children? Discipline yourself. Set an example for them. Show them what it's like to struggle to overcome sin in your life and then gain victory. Show them what it's like to work hard. Show them what it's like to fail and then have to go and apologize. How about you set up some your own things of, hey, when dad does this, here's going to be the consequence. And then your kids can watch you discipline yourself. And let me tell you something. If you don't think that will have an impact on them, you're lying to yourself. You show them by your own self-discipline, and that will have a stronger impact than anything that you could do to them. Set an example. Let's close in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you have given us this wonderful thing called the family. And you have given us great responsibility in it. It doesn't matter if we're a father, a mother, a child. We have great and tremendous responsibility to act according to what you want us to do, to follow you, to trust you, and to do what you tell us to do. And Lord, I pray that even though this is a short message, it'll be an encouraging one. Not encouraging as in making us feel better about ourselves, but encouraging us as in helping us to know what is right, helping us to know how to live our life better. Lord, we sang this morning that we want to see righteousness in our life. We don't hear a lot of people saying that, but we do hear a lot of people saying, I want peace. I want peace in my home. I want peace in my family. I want peace in my community. I want peace at my job. I want peace in my heart. And your word says that righteousness brings the fruit of peace. We first have to pursue righteousness, and then we will have the fruit of peace in our life and in our homes. We got to pursue righteousness. So let our children see us pursuing righteousness. Let them see us helping them pursue righteousness. And then, Lord, you will bring the fruit, the wonderful fruit of peace. Lord, we just thank you for Bobby sharing her trip to Zambia, and Lord, just the wonderful things that you're doing all around the world. You truly do love children from every corner of this globe. They're your people. We're all one family. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to love in that way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.